Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, October 24, 2017. I am Jason Powell, and coming up after this brief break for non-members, my full review of Tuesday's WWE SmackDown Live. WWE SmackDown Live was in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at the BMO Harris Bank Bradley Center. Man, that's a long name. The Bradley Center, that's where they were. And this was a show that followed the big SmackDown invasion of Raw. And so they were on high alert, kind of. Shane McMahon claiming that they had security ready to go, and they were ready for the Raw attack. And nothing. There was no response from the Raw crew whatsoever. It was just business as usual. Kind of strange that they didn't have this plan to do some sort of a follow-up. But at the same time, I do like that there was this vibe that it could happen. You know, if you're watching the show thinking it may happen, well, it might keep you engaged going, all right, when is this going to take place? Is it going to be this opening match? Is it going to be, well, you know, top of the second hour, end of the show, and then nothing? And they were quick to have Daniel Bryan point out at the end of the show, basically, that it's coming. And so, you know, they'll clearly get to it, but they didn't do it here. It basically was just a normal episode of SmackDown, and we'll work our way through this. I will be using Jake Barnett's live review, which he does every Tuesday at ProWrestling.net. I use that for my outline. If you would like to do the same, you can certainly follow along that way. They open things up with footage of the Under Siege attack from Monday night, and then Shane McMahon made his entrance. And if there was any concern about Shane being treated as a heel because he led this heelish attack on the Raw brand, no worries there. The crowd, it could not have been better to Shane when it came to this whole thing. And by the way, broadcast team, Michael Cole filling in for Tom Phillips again. Still no explanation as to why Phillips is absent. They just said he'd be gone for a couple of weeks on assignment. Corey Graves was there, and so was Byron Saxton. Shane just talked about how, you know, Raw, the idea that Kurt Angle made it seem like Raw was better than SmackDown, and the fans didn't like that. They were basically booing that notion. So there was a couple of different points where the crowd was with Shane when it came to this sort of a thing, with SmackDown more or less, and they even chanted Under Siege at one point. I couldn't believe it. At least for one night, this crowd is into it. I'm still not a big fan of the whole Raw versus SmackDown concept. I just think it's very forced, and it happens once a year, and then everything is just going to go right back to normal once the pay-per-view is over. They could surprise me, but I mean, that's just the way this thing usually works. And did it make for an eventful close to Monday's Raw? Sure. Did it make tonight's show a little bit better, just to, even though nothing happened, just kind of the possibility that Raw could strike? Yeah, I guess it did. We ended up with, so Shane talks about this. He sets up some things for SmackDown. He's interrupted by Sami Zayn, who does an over-the-top version of his dancing entrance. And Shane talked about, Shane said he had plenty of hard feelings when Sami pulled Kevin Owens out of the way at Hell in a Cell, and on top of him for the 1-2-3 to add insult to injury. And Sami said Shane is out there as commissioner of SmackDown, but if he were Shane the competitor, he would take him out in 1 second. Got a kick out of that. And he said he would leave him hurting worse than he left Hell in a Cell. And he then said that he and Kevin Owens had molded over, and in a gesture of good faith, they decided to selflessly offer their services to Team SmackDown for Survivor Series. And he said Shane knows he needs them, and he's many things, but he's not a stupid man, and he will do the smart thing. Shane said he doesn't need them, and he doesn't want them. I'm like, good. But he didn't end there. He said SmackDown is the land of opportunity. I'm like, oh my God. He said that he would give Sami a match later in the show, and the winner would become the first member of Team SmackDown. Shane was on his way out when Sami wanted to know, hey, who you gonna leave me hanging here? Who am I facing? And Shane announced that he would face Randy Orton, who he beat the week before with that low blow finish in the, I think, the tag match with Shinsuke Nakamura against Owens and Zayn. And good opening. I thought Sami was really good on the mic as a heel. I wasn't shocked, surprised to see the live crowd rally behind SmackDown since they were attending that show. But I do think if you put Raw in front of this same audience, they're cheering for Raw. I mean, it's just the way it works. There's, you know, and that's how WWE wants it. They don't want people to choose between these brands. I mean, they want you watching all of their programming. So there's only so far they're going to go with this, obviously. It's generated some buzz, and I'm sure it's one of the things that Wade Keller and I will talk about when I am on the Wade Keller podcast coming up on Thursday. We'll be recording it Wednesday afternoon, and that should be available Thursday morning, I believe it is, at podcastone.com. Looking forward to that show. So after this opening segment, we get the Usos on commentary for a match between New Day, Chad Gable, and Shelton Benjamin. This was advertised by WWE earlier in the day as an eight-man tag. It was going to be the Usos teaming up with New Day to face Gable, Benjamin, Rusev, and Aiden English. I don't know what caused the change. It looked weird on paper to begin with. And this was kind of strange here too, just because it's two babyface teams. And it was Gable and Benjamin kind of using a little bit of cheap tactics to win. You had Gable pushing Xavier Woods into the ropes, and that's when Shelton Benjamin, who was standing on the apron, again, waiting for, well, just in the, he wasn't a legal man, so he's standing on the apron, and he ended up kicking Woods in the back of the head, and then Gable ended up covering him for the win. And the Usos were talking about how they liked that they were opportunistic. So basically, what you're getting here is they're trying to elevate Gable and Benjamin heading into this feud with the Usos over the tag titles. They only have so many teams to work with on SmackDown, and so I guess you kind of have to, if you're really going to try to make these guys, have them work with New Day. I don't know that, you know, semi-cheating to win a match is necessarily going to make them. But it didn't hurt matters either. I do enjoy the team of Gable and Benjamin, and I'm looking forward to that match with the Usos whenever it does take place. Then we had Daniel Bryan address the women's division, or most of them, six members of the women's division, and about the Survivor Series match. And he said the team, they would all be on the team. And then Lana pointed out that there were six of them. And he said, "Yeah, not you, Lana." So she was not happy. But the team will be Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Naomi, Tamina, and Carmella. And we found out that there will be a five-way later in the show to determine the team captain. Oh boy, Carmella noted that James Ellsworth was missing. He wasn't. He somehow managed to get off of his leash. And Brian said he would send out a search team, and they went to a commercial break. It didn't take long to find out where Ellsworth was, because the Fashion File segment was up next. Fashion Dogs. This was a play on Reservoir Dogs, and not a very good one. I gotta say, I just don't find these to be all that funny. There's the rare moment or two in these segments, but they are just, and I think Jake Barnett used similar lingo. They're just far more missed than hit when it comes to these segments for me. Now, you know, comedy and humor is subjective, so if you're somebody out there going, "I think this is great," I'm not going to disagree with you, but when it comes to, or not going to tell you how you should feel is what I should say, but you know, for me, it's just, I want to enjoy this. I did think for, you know, what the last run they were on where it was all about Twin Peaks, that, all right, maybe this is going off over my head because I just wasn't a Twin Peaks viewer. And this, the last 2 weeks, Pulp Fiction and Reservoir Dogs, big fan of those movies, especially Reservoir Dogs, and wanted to really like these, and just really didn't find much humor in them. In this case, it was all about a briefcase. They had James Ellsworth tied to a chair, and threatened to cut off his chin, basically, I guess, with, you know, the fact that he doesn't have a chin, something along those lines. And then the Ascension was part of this as well. They teased lighting him on fire with gasoline. Carmella ended up entering the picture and said Ellsworth was supposed to be guarding her briefcase. And she said that she wasn't part of their stupid skit. And Fandango opened up the Money in the Bank briefcase and found a pair of dirty, really over-the-top dirty men's underwear. And Carmella called Ellsworth a bad dog and pulled him out of the picture. And then Breezango acted like they solved another case. But Connor from the Ascension pointed out they haven't solved anything. Talked about you know, who broke into their office, the briefcase, 2B, who attacked them, all this different stuff. And he came to the conclusion that 2B is Bludgeon Brothers, but Tyler Breeze said there's no B in Brothers, and Connor corrected him, and then he said, yeah, the B must be silent, according to Tyler Breeze. Just not that comical to me, I don't know. So I guess next week we found out that things are going to be stranger-er, according to Fandango, and now they're moving into stranger-er things. So that I did get a minor chuckle over, if only because, well, I mean, it's kind of a funny line, but also good timing, with the Stranger Things, I think, popping up on Netflix again, the second season this weekend. Good timing there. Certainly beats going back to Twin Peaks. Now, I know it's on Showtime now, and they've kind of relaunched the thing, but still, this feels a lot more timely, and even compared to Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. So we'll see what they do, but all these, it always sounds fun, like, oh, Pulp Fiction, that could be cool, and hey, Reservoir Dogs, that could be fun. Stranger Things, that could be fun. I keep waiting for it to be more fun, I guess. Then it was time for the big rematch. Baron Corbin made his entrance heading into a commercial break. He was going to take on Sin Cara. Before that match, though, they went to a commercial, and when they came back, they had Daniel Bryan backstage. He wasn't happy about Shane McMahon leading the charge to attack Raw the night before, and wasn't happy that he wasn't even contacted about it. And Shane said he's the commissioner, and he's going to make the calls on his own sometime. He said that's in his job description. Daniel Bryan said he's just expressing his opinion and offering input. That's in his job description. So Daniel Bryan not pleased by this, and all I could think of is, yeah, this does make Shane look like more of a heel. And I began fearing, like, oh my Lord, are they can't be turning Shane heel off of this, are they? We've seen Daniel Bryan and Shane have some disagreements before, and it hasn't headed in that direction, and I hope they're not going to do that again. I hope they're just going to kind of chalk this up to a disagreement and move forward, because I just don't want to see Shane McMahon as a heel with authority in over SmackDown. I don't need to see Shane become the new McMahon authority. Just no more of that, please. He's fine as a babyface. We don't need Shane McMahon going, dusting off the old heel McMahon routine for the SmackDown. Then we went to that second match. It was Sin Cara this time beating Baron Corbin by disqualification in 3:44. Corbin ended up blowing off the referee and to continue his attack on Sin Cara. That led to the disqualification. After the match, he hit his end of days finisher on Sin Cara at ringside, and the crowd was so concerned about Sin Cara that they chanted one more time. Last week I was down on this, especially he'd just given Baron Corbin a win over AJ Styles. They followed up with him losing by count out. So I mean, we can talk about the silliness of what they did with Finn Balor, between Sunday and Monday. He gets the big win over AJ Styles, and then he turns around and loses in just dominant fashion to Kane. Well, they kind of made the same mistake on this side of things, on the SmackDown side, with Corbin. This week, it was like, okay, it's coming off of this. I'm actually kind of happy they stretched it out, I gotta say, because now I still. If I could go back, and if it was my call last week, no, he would have just, if he was going to wrestle Sin Cara, Corbin would have won. But at least, they did what they did last week, and now at least they're trying to get a little more out of it. I just don't think they have anything in Sin Cara. Like, if this were an underdog babyface that people kind of seem to like Sami Zayn at one point, okay, then this could be fun. We'll see where it goes, but it's Sin Cara. There's a reason fans chanted one more time. They're just not into this. They're not into Sin Cara. And I don't know that, this feud is going to lead to that. I just don't know that fans are going to rally behind him. I still think the end result of this is just Corbin pinning him clean. I'm not quite sure what they think they're getting out of this. If they think they're going to somehow make Sin Cara, or if they're just trying to fill some TV time, which I guess wouldn't surprise me either. Another video package on SmackDown invading Raw. And then we ended up with the the Singh brothers coming out to introduce Jinder Mahal. They all went to the ring, and it was time for a promo, and Jinder called Paul Heyman a liar. He also called him a human walrus, one of them did. And then he introduced a clip of Heyman running him down and accepting the challenge on Raw. And Jinder said, unlike the used car salesman Paul Heyman, he would tell the fans the truth. And he talked about how he'd earned everything he'd ever received in WWE. He started at the bottom, and now he's the most powerful man in the company. And he doesn't get the respect in the United States that he does from the 1.3 billion people in India. But after Survivor Series, he would prove to everyone, and especially that human walrus Paul Heyman, that the Maharaja era had just begun. Then Mahal started talking about Sunil Singh and AJ Styles, which was the match, and that's when AJ made his entrance. So he wasn't quite done speaking, but AJ cut him off. It's like, yeah, you could have done this a little sooner, AJ. And that match consisted of AJ Styles beating Sunil Singh in 40 seconds. There was nothing to this. The referee did eject Jinder Mahal before the match even got started for really no good reason. The other Singh got to stick around, but AJ wanted the calf crusher quickly. So nothing really to this, but this is also being stretched out because we found out a little bit later that AJ will face the other Singh brother next week. So, I mean, nothing Jinder Mahal is saying. I don't even know if there's anything Paul Heyman can say. As good as he is, I don't know that Paul Heyman is going to be able to sell me on Brock Lesnar and Jinder Mahal. You know, there's other things going on the SmackDown card. That's fine. But, I'm sorry, Lesnar against Mahal in a non-title match just doesn't do it for me. There's very little to be excited about there as far as I'm concerned. Then we had Kevin Owens approach Sami Zayn and say that he had spoken with Daniel Bryan, and next week he would have a qualifying match for Team SmackDown as well. He's going to be facing Shinsuke Nakamura. And Sami said that he'd beat Orton, and then Owens would take care of Nakamura next week, and Team SmackDown would officially become Team Kevin and Sami. And Owens said it would be Team Sami and Kevin, and slapped him on the shoulder, and they went to a break. So Kevin Owens back. He left the South American tour early due to some sort of a family issue that he didn't get into. That's his business. But he was back on this show. I applaud them for going ahead and announcing you're getting Nakamura and Owens next week. But with Owens coming out later, almost felt like, with him missing it and with the internet fan base as big as it is, I don't know if they needed this. It could have been a little bit more of a surprise when he came out at the end of the show, but and not a huge deal. Then they had Jinder Mahal backstage. This is where he demanded Daniel Bryan make a match between Sameer Singh and AJ Styles. And Sameer didn't seem all that fired up about this, but he did accept. And then there was really nothing to this, so it's just, I guess AJ gets to plow through them. One thing that will help, they are going to, just by doing this, now I'm actually seeing the names of the Singh brothers on the, thanks to the graphics that WWE is using. That will actually help me remember their names. I couldn't tell you how many times I've been like, I don't know. They're the Singh brothers. All kidding aside, I'd like to see, and I've said this many times, since they put Jinder with the Singhs, I want to see individual personalities for these guys. Give them unique personalities. Maybe one's more of a kiss ass than the other. The other starts to get a little bothered by it. Whatever. Just give them a little something. I think they do enhance this act. Jinder is still, Jinder is Jinder. But I do think the Singh brothers are helping with his act, and I think they could be more helpful if fans had a reason to kind of pay more attention to them. I mean, right now it's just, okay, they interfere and they introduce him. But give them a little, some unique personality, and I think that, I really do think that they could add to that even more. And then it was time for the women's match, but they were all in the ring. Natalya was at ringside. Ring announcer Greg Hamilton read off a list of compliments about Natalya, who then was, took a brief walk through the ring to kind of soak up the glory, and that was it for her. And then the actual match to determine who will become the team captain of Team SmackDown. It was Becky Lynch winning the latest five-way match involving the women on SmackDown. 8 minutes and 11 seconds. They've had a lot of practice at these five ways, but this wasn't a great one or anything. This was Jake didn't seem all that impressed by it either. He said it was a little chaotic from a bit of a chaotic effort from the women. Yeah, I would agree. I'm tired of seeing five-way matches with most of the women on the SmackDown brand. I'd like to see them have individual feuds, not just champion and her challenger of the month. But even if you're not in the title picture, doesn't mean you can't be trying to earn your way into that. There's more they can do with these women than all these five ways they do. And even more important than that, this is two nights in a row where we've had a match to determine the team captains of Raw and SmackDown on the women's side. Don't know if the men are going to have team captains. There's been no indication that they are. What is a team captain for Survivor Series? What goes along with it? Why are they fighting for the honor of being team captain when seemingly you get nothing? It's not like, well, you get nothing. I mean, really, what do you get? They've already made it clear that Shane McMahon is picking his team, and he already has. And so it's not like Becky Lynch, who wins this match, gets to choose the team. When it comes to the Survivor Series elimination match, I don't, what is she introduced last or first? I mean, they're fighting over absolutely nothing. And that's what just kind of makes me scratch my head watching this, going, why do I care who ends up being the captain of this team? Way to go, Becky Lynch. So she celebrates her winning nothing after the match. And Naomi and Charlotte looked dejected because they didn't win this phony captain's role. And then they went to a commercial break. Coming out of the break, Dolph Ziggler was interviewed backstage, and he cut off Renee Young. He said she would ask a question nobody cared about, and he ended up doing his usual. When it came to, in this case, mocking catchphrases, he did even like mimic Rock at one point, and he said people. He told people Bobby Roode was nothing but an entrance and nothing but a catchphrase, and last week he proved it by beating him. Well, that's when Roode entered the picture and told Ziggler that since they both had one win apiece in their matches, how about a third match to see who the better man really is? And Ziggler wasn't very keen on this. He said that all he needed was two, and then Roode said, two, that's a good idea. And he suggested that next week they have a two out of three falls match to settle this once and for all. And Ziggler responded that he was in, but he wasn't sure if Roode's ego could handle being embarrassed twice in one night. And then Dolph walked off. And Roode, you knew he wasn't going to get out of here without telling the world something was glorious. And in this case, it's next week is going to be simply glorious. And then it was time for Zayn and Orton to make their entrances. And we had a video package that kind of recapped Sammy winning that tag match last week with the low blow on Randy Orton. Then he followed up with the Helluva kick. Jake liked the Ziggler and Roode segment a little bit more than I did. It's kind of hard. I mean, they're both talented guys. Their matches that we've seen on television so far have been eh. And I'm certainly ready to give them, willing to give them another chance. Not like that, but three falls. For one, you have to worry about WWE doing the three falls thing where they cram in three falls into the same stretch they would give a normal match. And even if they go long, again, these guys haven't exactly set the world on fire. They're going to fill that time well, but we'll see. I do like that they advertised not just one but a couple of matches for next week. In this case, a pay-per-view rematch with Ziggler and Roode, and then also Kevin Owens and Nakamura next week to determine who gets on Team SmackDown as well. So that was a nice touch. And as for the main event, oh, and we also found out the broadcast team told us that the winner of the Roode and Ziggler match would also earn a spot on Team SmackDown and Survivor Series. So the same is true for Owens and Nakamura. And then the main event of the show was for just that as well. It was Randy Orton defeating Sami Zayn in 14:33. Jake pointed out, and he was right, it started a little bit slow, but following the commercial break, it was pretty good. I was entertained by this. You had at one point Zayn was chopping Orton and saying, "Well, come on, Viper," and then Orton kind of gave him this big forearm. I think it was a big uppercut that he gave him, actually, and kind of took control from there. Down the stretch, it was you had Orton hitting his hanging DDT after Sammy had gone for a Helluva kick that Orton avoided, and then Orton was setting up for the RKO, and I was like, fine. I was like, okay, if this is it, I would have been fine with it. Because it's like, well, Sammy beat Orton last week, and I was happy though that they decided to kind of come up with a way to soften the blow a little bit, because Kevin Owens came out and that distracted Orton, so he didn't go for his finisher right then and there. But Kevin Owens came down to ringside, jumped up on the apron, the referee's there to meet him, and that's when Orton ended up. Well, Orton tried to perform a hanging DDT, draping DDT as Jay calls it, on Owens, but Sammy ended up rolling up Randy Orton from behind for a near fall. The ref again tried to get Owens off the apron, and this gave Orton the opening that he needed. He ended up giving Sami Zayn a low blow. So payback's a bitch for Sami Zayn. Orton ended up hitting the RKO on Sammy and getting the win in 14:33. So Randy Orton is the first member of Team SmackDown for the Survivor Series match. And I enjoyed this. You know, again, a little slow to start with, but coming out of that commercial break, it was an entertaining match. I thought Sami Zayn looked good in there as a heel. He's still doing many of the same moves you'd see him do as a babyface. In fact, he did that bit where he's at ringside and he dives through the ropes in the corner and then performs his DDT on the way down. So he's not like completely abandoning the moves that he was doing as a babyface by any means. You know, we saw him win last week with that Helluva kick, and so he's still doing things like that. But it was, I thought it was an entertaining, competitive match. I kind of assumed Randy Orton was going to win. But after last week, and never say never. And so right now, it's kind of like, even though last week was a tag match, Orton winning, again, they softened the blow a little bit with Owens' interference backfiring, basically. And then also, you know, it feels like they're 1-1, you know, because Sammy pinned Orton, and then now Orton returned the favor. And so they can leave it like that. It's one where I don't need there to be a rubber match between these two. You know, I think it's important to, I mean, if they want to put Zayn over, but I certainly don't blame them if they don't either. You know, I think Sammy can kind of, they can move in different directions, and Sammy can do his thing. This wasn't it, though. To close the show, they went backstage, where Shane McMahon told Daniel Bryan they had a great show and Raw didn't invade like Daniel Bryan thought they would. And Bryan admitted they didn't invade tonight. What he told Shane, eventually they will. He was really robotic here. Daniel Bryan is he's not the greatest actor. I was surprised this made air. The acting was pretty poor here. But he said, Shane needs to be ready to accept the consequences of that when they do invade. And Bryan told him, that was part of his job description. So still some tension at the end of the show between Shane and Daniel Bryan. Again, I'm just kind of hoping that it is what it is. It's just you know, a little bit of tension. We've seen this before between them, and it didn't lead to anyone turning heel or anyone being fired. I don't think we need that. And so hopefully it's just you know, a little bit of a disagreement between the two, and not some big heel turn coming, or not Shane McMahon firing Daniel Bryan for not being on the same page. I think they're fine together as babyfaces, and I don't think that there's much benefit to turning, certainly not Daniel Bryan, and I wouldn't turn Shane McMahon either. I would just leave it alone. Hey, if you guys enjoy these full-length audio reviews that we do here occasionally on pwaudio.net here on the All Access side of things, know that members hear them each and every week after SmackDown, after Raw. I do the Ring of Honor television show. You guys will actually get a sample of that tomorrow. That will be the Wednesday All Access Daily Podcast, is my Ring of Honor television review. But when Lucha Underground is in season, John Moore has covered all of those shows. We also have NXT, John Moore, 205 Live, John Moore, And then Impact Wrestling, I take care of on Friday as well. So all the major television shows are covered in audio form, and also all of the major pay-per-view events, WWE, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, Bound for Glory will be the next one that I'll be covering. Those shows are reviewed in audio form as well, usually the same evening as the show. And so whether you want to listen, you want to watch the show and listen right away, or maybe on your commute to work the next day, it'll be waiting for you on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you're interested in membership, all you have to do is visit our main page. Once you're on the main page of ProWrestling.net, just click into the sign-up area and you will find three different pricing options available. Pick the one that works best for you. Find out what it is we do on the member-exclusive side of things. Again, enjoy ad-free access and a ton of audio content going back nearly 10 years. We've been around almost 10 years. All of our audio content is available once you sign up for membership. So as I'd like to point out, hey, you know, maybe you're watching a SmackDown show from, you know, 7 years ago. You want to find out what people were saying about it. Well, find it in our audio archives and you can find out. Just one example. Obviously, you can do that with a number of different shows, but that'll do it for now, everybody. Oh, hey, actually, take a minute. Subscribe to our daily podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes if you have a chance. Help spread the word about PWAudio.net and ProWrestling.net. Any help you do with that is greatly appreciated. But I will be by tomorrow on Wednesday with the Ring of Honor television review. Until then, everybody, take care.